Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed He. The final daf as we complete this fantastic and relevant Masechet. We begin on 34b, and we have five different, very interesting topics today. We're going to start off talking about reciting only some of the berachot or making some shofar sounds. Does that count as anything? Second topic, reciting berachot separately from shofar. We usually blow the shofar between the berachot of Musaf, Malchuyot, Zichronot, Shofarot. When is that appropriate? When should one do it separately? What's a priority if you have to choose between saying the berachot of Musaf, Rosh Hashanah, or shofar? You can only do one. Which one's more important? Then, does the chazan fulfill the responsibility of prayer for others who are there listening? What if they're not there? Who can fulfill his obligation through the chazan, and who has to pray individually? And finally, preparing for tefillah beforehand, if one is chazan, and praying, spending time praying versus spending time studying Torah. And that'll be the topics for today. So we begin. Tenor banan tikiot en me'akebot zo etzo berachot. And me'akebot zo etzo. The blowings of the shofar do not invalidate each other. In other words, if you only do some of them and you forgot to do one of them, one of the tikiot, it's still okay. You still fulfilled something. And also the berachot, extra berachot that you say, if you don't say all of them, it's okay to say some of them. However, this is only true not on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but rather on other fast days. I'll explain in a second. Tikiot berachot shel Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippurim me'akevot. But the tikiot of the shofar that one does, and the extra berachot that one does on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, those you have to do all of them. So here's how it works. On fast days, this is actually good. It's a foreshadowing of our next masechet, Masechet Ta'anit. If it didn't rain for a while, then they would have fast days of increasing severity, and they would blow shofar and also add extra berachot, extra prayers into the Amidah, like we do on fast days also. We add an anenu beracha. So if the chazan gets up and he doesn't know all of the berachot that are supposed to be added, or he blows the shofar, only some of them, but not all the kolot, on a fast day, it's still worthwhile. It's okay. But not on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, you have to do all malchuyot, zichronot, shofarot, and you have to blow all nine kolot of the shofar, is the essential ones. And then we talked about adding more because of safek. Is it a short sobbing or a medium sound sighing? But you have to, so those you have to do. And on Yom Kippur, meaning when you blow the shofar on the Yovel and you have extra prayers, those are in fact absolutely required. Now we ask why. My tama, Amar Abba, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Emru Lefanai Berosh Hashanah Malchuyot Zichronot Veshofarot. Malchuyot Kedei Shetamlichuni Alechem. Zichronot Kedei Sheyavo Lefanai Zichronechem Letoba Ubameh Beshofar. The reason for the extra berachot on Rosh Hashanah actually is a package deal. You should say these three sections, Malchuyot, because we declare God as king over us. Hashem says, I want you to declare me as king, and say Zichronot. So after you declare Hashem as king, then you should say, please remember us for good. So that follows, that's a narrative. And how do you do that with a shofar? That's the shofarot section. That's the mechanism by which we express those feelings. So if you're missing any one of these, what you're going to say, please remember us, without saying he's king? You're going to have shofar without knowing what the point of the shofar is. Right? So all these three need to be together. And good. Now, this does not necessarily mean that the berachot and the tikiot have to go together, because that is what we're going to talk about next. Now, mi sheberach ach be'achar kach nitmana lo shofar, tokea umeria v'tokea. Let's say it's time for Musaf, and they don't have a shofar with them. So nevertheless, the Mishnah says, say Musaf afterwards. When you get a shofar, then you do all the tikiot separately. In other words, it's possible to separate the shofar from the Musaf. Now, ta'amad lahavale shofar meikara. The only reason why it's allowed here is b'diavad. He didn't have one. What could he do? However, we can infer from this that if you do have a shofar, from the get-go, then you should say, blow the shofar during the blessings, right? After Malchiot, after Zichronot, after Shofarot. That is the proper way to do it, right? In the Amidah. Good. So now that we've established that, we're going to discuss, is this true only for a sibur, for a minyan, or also for an individual if one is praying alone? So let's see. Rav Papa bar Shmuel kam le-saluyeh. Rav Papa, the son of Shmuel, he was praying by himself. He didn't have a minyan for whatever reason. And so he's saying, Musaf, amar le shama'eh ki nahir nalach takali. He tells his attendant, I'm going to give you a signal. When I give you a signal, blow the shofar. In other words, Rav Papa is praying the Amidah. When he finishes Malchuyot, he'll tell him, okay, go, blow shofar, and then I'll listen. So you see, according to Rav Papa, we blow the shofar within the Musaf, even if you're only an individual praying alone. However, Amar le Rava, halo amru ela becheved ayir. Rava said, no, they only said you do that when you're with a minyan. The term for minyan here is chevid ayir. It's a very interesting term. It means the friends of the city or the council of the city, the leaders of the city. This phrase is found on coins from the Hashmonaim. Almost all of their coins have in Ketav Ivri, interestingly, even though they didn't really use Ketav Ivri anymore during this time. This is in the second and first century BCE. Nevertheless, the coins, they wanted to use the ancient font so that they could recall the times of the first Beit HaMikdash when they had the kings of Judea. So they wanted to present themselves, the Chashmonaim wanted to present themselves as a continuation of them. So that's why they used this font. Anyway, on this, it says, Yochanan, Kohen HaGadol. So that's Yochanan, the Hasmonean, he's the Kohen Gadol, and Chevet HaYehudim, the Council of the Jews. So in other words, he's the Kohen Gadol, but there's also some legislative body, representative body of the people that helps to make decisions. So it's a representative body like a Congress. And so that same term here, Chevet Ir, it does mean a minyan, but this is really essential for understanding what a minyan is all about. You need 10 men there, not only so that, okay, now you can say the Shekhinah can come, the 10 men actually represent the entire community. For example, you know, if someone does something wrong to someone else and the person dies, you come to the grave with 10 men that they represent the whole community, and then you can apologize in front of them. So that's why the halachot are different for the whole community, even if not everybody's there. That minyan represents them. So that's a very important term. Okay, and so Rava says, yeah, we only insert shofar blowing within the musaf, between the brachot, when you're saying it with a minyan. Tanya nami hachi, and we have a braita that supports this. Keshu shom'an ala seder, val seder berachot. When you listen to the shofar blast, that tikiyah, teruah, tikiyah, each set, you should do it in the order of the blessings. Whenever your blessing you're up to, then if you finish that, as we do today. When do you do that? Only when you're with a minyan, when you're with representatives of the whole community. But if you're not with them, then you should hear them in order, but not together with the blessings. In other words, you still have to say the three sets of shofar blows, but not in the middle. Now, another law that's related is that if a person who's praying by himself, a person who didn't hear the shofar, someone else can blow for him. But a person didn't say musaf, didn't pray, or any prayers, that person cannot pray for him. In other words, if I already went to Bet Knesset and I fulfilled shofar and musaf, I can go to someone who's sick at home and blow shofar for them. That's fine. But I can't go to their home, and if they can't, let's say they don't know how to pray, I can't say musaf and they listen and then fulfill their obligation. That's right. A single person cannot do that. For that, you're going to have to go to Bet Knesset and listen to the chazan and say amen. Okay, so that's the law that's going to relate to something coming up. Now, umitzvah betokin yoted min habem mevarchin. Okay, right now we're up to part C. What's a priority? Kesad shete ayarot b'achat tokin b'achat mevarchin olchin l'makom shetokin v'en olchin l'makom shemevarchin. That the mitzvah of shofar is more important than saying the berachot of musaf. For example, let's say there's two cities and I'm in the middle. I live near them, but I can't get to both on Rosh Hashanah. I could have to choose one. In one of the cities, they have a shofar, only in that city, and they're going to blow shofar, but they're not going to say musaf. There's nobody there. Remember, they didn't have books. So there's nobody there that knows musaf by heart, so they can't say it. In the other city, they don't have a shofar, but there's a guy there, a chazan, who knows musaf. I can pick one, which one to go to, but not both. I should go and hear the shofar and not go and miss out on musaf. Okay, very interesting. I mean, why? Peshita. Actually, this is obvious. Hadoraita hadrabanan. Listening to the shofar, that's misva doraita, yom teruah. And saying the specific berachot, extra berachot in the musaf, that's only midrabanan. We did see that was once before. It says Rachamana Amar. You should say Malchiyot Zikronot Shofarot. Nevertheless, doesn't mean that the specific way we say it is the Oraita. So that's just an expression to say, you know, Hashem, this is the essence of the day. But that the actual berachot are all midrabanan. So therefore, obviously, you should pick the shofar. Why even have to tell me this? I could figure it out myself. La Siricha Daf Agav Deha. Oh, adding extra chidush. Let's say one place, for sure they're going to say the musaf. That's for sure. The other place, I'm not sure if they're going to have the shofar, or I'm not sure if I'll make it in time to hear the shofar. Nevertheless, go to the shofar place, because even a doubt that I might be able to fulfill doraita is more important than the musaf that is the rabbanan. All right, and now we get to the next part, which is, does the chazan fulfill the responsibility of prayer for others? When can he, and when does he not? Keshem sheshalech shibur chayav kach kol yachid v'yachid. The Mishnah, the very last Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, says that just like the chazan must pray, so too individuals must pray. That was Tanakama, and that explained why we have a silent Amida. Everybody has to pray on their own, unless they don't know how to. And then Rabban Gamliel disagreed and said, no, the Chazan can fulfill the obligation for everyone. And therefore, really all you need is the Kol Dam, is the one out loud. Okay, we're going to discuss each of these opinions. Tanya, Amru lo Rabban Gamliel lidvarecha, lama sibor mitpalelin. Tanakama says, Tanakama is Chachamim. Chachamim say to Rabban Gamliel, according to you, why does everybody have to pray biyachid? Why do you have the silent Amida? Since you think that the Chazan can fulfill the obligation for everyone, so only say the out loud Amida. That's a good question. Amar lehem kedei lehastir shaliach sibur tefilato. Rabban Gamliel says, you're right, really, wouldn't have to. We just want to give the Chazan a break. He just said, you know, the section before, Birkot Kiryat Shema, and he needs to review the prayer, so because he's saying it by heart. He needs a few minutes to think about it. And so therefore, we tell everyone, take a break. If you know how to pray, pray on your own. Nothing wrong with it. But really, it's just filler time. So that the chazan can prepare the real prayer, which is the chazara. Okay, amazing. Now, you see here that everybody was doing it already. They had a silent amida and a chazara. So they know everybody was doing it. The question is, like, which one is the essential one? So Rabban Gamliel says the chazara is the essential. Amar lahem Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel challenges back. According to you, you say that every individual is obligated to pray on his own. If so, why just have the silent Amida? Why do you need the Chazara? Why do you even need a Chazan to be there? Just have everybody come together. Everybody will pray on their own, and that's it. Okay, good question. There's some people that know how to pray on their own. They know it by heart. Some people don't know how. So for them, we have the chazara. And this is the usual answer that we say, right? So the silent amida is for most people, is for those who know how to pray. Chazara, they agree that yes, then the Chazan can fulfill their obligation if they don't know how to pray in their own. Amar lehem, keshem shemosiyat sheno baki, kal mosiyat baki. Rabban Gamliel says back to them, well, if you agree in essence that the Chazan can fulfill the obligation for those who are there listening, in other words, not everybody has to say all the words, the Chazan says it on their behalf, and they listen intently, they answer amen. If you agree that the Chazan can fulfill someone's obligation, then he can fulfill everyone's obligation. And so just do it. You know, all you need is the Chazara. Okay, so that's the conversation between them. Now, Amar Abba bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Modim Chachamim L'Rabban Gamliel. So Rabbi Yochanan says, you know what, in the end, after this conversation, Chachamim were convinced. And they agreed that, you know what, it does make sense that if the Chazan is saying it, the Chazan can fulfill the obligation even for someone who does know how to pray. Okay, that doesn't mean that they got rid of the silent Amida, but the point is, for whatever reason, person doesn't want to pray on their own and they want to just listen and say amen, it works. It fulfills the obligation. They agreed to that. That's what Rabbi Yochanan says. But others don't agree. But Rav Amad adayin hi machloket. Rav says no. They still disagree. They say the Chazan can fulfill obligation only for someone who doesn't know how to pray, but not for someone who does know how to pray. They never changed their mind about that. Okay. So that's machloket Rabbi Yochanan and Rav. We're going to see a couple of other individuals that agree with one or other of these opinions. Shema'ah Rabbi Chiya b'ed Rabba bar Nachmani. So Rabbi Chiya heard this statement. Azal amara lishmata kamed ravdimi bar chinina, and he retold it to ravdimi. Amar le hachi amarav adayin machloket, and ravdimi says yes, it's still machloket. So he confirmed the fact that Rav says that the machloket continues. Amar le rabba bar chana name hachi kamar ki amar Rabbi Yochanan hashmata aflig ale resh lakish. So he repeated further that Rabba Bar Chana also said that when Rabbi Yochanan said this halacha, when Rabbi Yochanan said his idea that they Chachamim changed their minds and they agree partially with Rabban Gamliel, Resh Lakish was there and he said no, Rabbi Chachamim did not change their mind. Okay, so we have in the end is that Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, right? Most people think that Chachamim did not change their mind. Only Rabbi Yochanan thinks that Chachamim did change their mind and agrees with Rabban Gamliel to the extent that if a Chazan says it out loud, then he fulfills the obligation for everyone, even someone who knows how to pray on their own. Okay, so on that statement of Rabbi Yochanan, we challenge. Umi amar Rabbi Yochanan hachi. Did Rabbi Yochanan really think that Chachamim changed their mind? After all, Rabbi Yochanan himself also said that halacha follows Rabban Gamliel, that the Chazan can fulfill the obligation for everyone. If you say halacha is like Rabban Gamliel, that means there's someone who disagrees with Rabban Gamliel. Who would disagree? It must be Chachamim disagree, which implies that Chachamim did not change their mind. So how could you say change their mind and then say halacha is like Rabban Gamliel? So these two statements of Rabbi Yochanan contradict. So let's try to answer it. Ki salik Rabbi Abba miyameh persha. Rabbi Ameh, one time he traveled, and when he came back, he gave us the answer. And he said, modim chachamim l'Rabban Gamliel b'berachot shel Rosh Hashanah v'shayom ha-kippurim. Halacha mikhla depligi b'berachot kol ha-shana. Oh, when Rabbi Yochanan said that the Chachamim changed their mind and they agree with the Rabban Gamliel, they only agreed regarding, say, the prayers on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Probably because those are very long prayers. They're hard to memorize. Most people don't know them. They're going to make mistakes. And so therefore, on those days, yes, the Shaliach Sibur, well, can say it on behalf of everyone, even people that generally know how to pray, they agree. However, they do not agree all year round. And therefore, when the second statement of Rabbi Yochanan, when he said, halacha is like Rabban Gamliel, what he meant is, we follow Rabban Gamliel all year round. And so all the time, on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and all year round, the Chazan can fulfill everyone's obligation. Okay, so that would explain the two statements of Rabbi Yochanan. However, we have another problem. Ini, ha'amar Rabbi Chana, si pora'a, amar Rabbi Yochanan, Alacha k'raban Gamliel bibrachot Rosh Hashanah v'shel Yom Kippurim. Okay, here we have a different version of what Rabbi Yochanan said. He said the law follows Rabban Gamliel regarding Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And so that would imply that that the Chachamim disagree even on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So we can't use this answer we had before. So we need a new answer. Ela amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, man modim, debi meir, v'halacha mikla depligi rabanan. Rather, when Rabbi Yochanan said that the sages decided to agree with Rabban Gamliel, it's not all the sages. Actually, it's only the Bimeir. Sometimes the Bimeir is the Stam Mishnah. But here, in this case, the Bimeir changed his mind. The rest of the Chachamim did not change their mind. So the second statement of Rabbi Yochanan, when he says, halacha is like Rabban Gamliel, it means halacha is like them, and also like Rabbi Meir, but not like Chachamim. And that's why he did have to say that halacha is like them. Good. And we have a proof for this. The Tanya, Braita says, Brachot shel Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippurim, Shalei HaSibur Mosir HaRabim Yedei Chobatan, Dibrei Rabbi Meir. So regarding only the high holidays, the Chazan can say the Amidah for everybody else. Those are long, difficult Amidahs. That's what Rabbi Meir says. So in other words, high holidays are special. Chachamim omerim, keshem sheshel sibur chayav, kach kol yachid v'achid chayav. Chachamim say, no, an individual who knows how to pray has to say it himself all the time, all year round. And Rabban Gamliel says the opposite, all year round, the Chazan can say it for everyone. So you see that it's only Rabbi Meir that partially agreed with Rabban Gamliel. Okay, now why? Why would there be any difference between Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and all year round? Ma shana haneh, ilema mishum de nefishi kera'eh, v'amar Rav Chananeh l'amar Rav, kevan shamar b'toratcha katuv lemor, shuv eno sarich. So what's so difficult? It's because there's so many pesukim, right? We just talked about you have to have 10 pesukim, then you have to go remember all 10, 30 pesukim that you have to remember, even if you follow the other opinion, it's 7 of each, still a lot of pesukim. Well, then that shouldn't be a problem because Rav said that you don't actually have to specify all of the pesukim for Malchuyot Zichronot Shafarot. If you just say, this is written in your Torah, you could leave the rest like etc. Right, Hashem, you know the Torah. You gave it to us in the first place, and you know what the references are. So we'll just like make a general citation. It says it in the Torah. You don't really have to say each of them. Okay, this is quite an amazing thing because we went through a whole thing before. How are we going to find the pesukim? Which one do we use? Which one do we not use? I think the point is there is that if you say them, you have to say the right ones. You have to say the ones that are appropriate, not something that has punishment or all that. But if you don't say them all, then it's fine. You could just say, in general, says this in the Torah. Good. So therefore, it shouldn't be really in a position for someone to pray because on their own, it's not more difficult. The high holiday is not more difficult because you could just make the general. It says in your Torah. Ela mishum dashvi berachot. But you know what? It's still difficult because there are many blessings. Even besides the pesukim, there's a lot of sections to the berachot. You have an introduction, and then you have a conclusion and a request. And so it's all it's still complicated, and that's why there would be a difference between Rosh Hashanah and all year round. So you're more likely to say that the Chazan can fulfill the obligation for everyone on the high holidays. Until today, the Egyptian custom is that for Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, the Chazan says the silent Amidah out loud, and then says Chazara out loud because it's so difficult. So they do the same thing twice. But that's very different from all year round for precisely this reason. Okay, Gufa. Now more about that statement that you mentioned. That you said you could just say in general. It says in your Torah, and you don't have to say all the law, all the pesukim. So when the rabbis were studying this, they said maybe that's only an individual. But if you're in a minyan, then it's not true. An individual, we feel bad for the guy. How does everybody know all the pesukim? But if you're in a community, so get a chazan and have him learn it. Itamar amar Rabbi Yosha ben Levi, echad yachid ve'echad tzibur, kevan shamar b'Torah ketuv lemor, shuv eno sarich. Rabbi Yosha ben Levi says, no, not so. Doesn't matter. Both individual and also a minyan. The chazan can just say, and it says it in your Torah, there's many pesukim, and doesn't have to specify them. Okay, you have to remember that there are minyanim in every little village, and not every little village had a learned person in them. And so this was difficult. So this way they can fulfill them with self obligation. And, you know, someone knows what the Pesukim are. So we are just making a footnote. See there, right? Wherever those Pesukim are in somewhere. Okay, good. And now we get to the final topic about the necessity to prepare tefillah beforehand. And we'll get into praying versus studying Torah. One should always prepare his prayer beforehand and then go and pray. Don't go in, right? Especially before a holiday or something when you didn't pray for a long time. You don't just go in, especially as a chazan, and just open up. Oh, yeah, what was the tune for this one? How do you say this? Okay, and that's today we have machzorim. But in those days, when you didn't, you're going to remember by heart, you're going to stumble on your words. Oh, what was the word? No, prepare beforehand, and then you'll be ready to pray. So Rabbi Abba says this only applies to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, other prayers that you only say once in a while. So then from year to year, you forget. Or, you know, I say every few months, then you forget what it is, the Yom Tov prayers. So that's what you should do. You should prepare. But the daily prayer, you just said it yesterday, right? So that you're practiced. You don't have to spend time preparing. Okay, Ini, hold on. Is that true? That you don't have to prepare every day? We have a statement that Rav Yehuda would prepare his regular, ordinary prayers and only then pray. So you see that. You should prepare all the time for every prayer. No, not true. Shane Rav Yehuda, kevan de mitelatin yomin, de tlatin yomin ava mesaleh, kifrakim dameh. Rav Yehuda would only pray once every 30 days. This is astounding. Why? Because he was so busy studying Torah. He would review all of his Torah study intently and not take a break. So he, because he was so involved, didn't waste a second on Torah study. Therefore, he didn't have to pray and didn't pray on a daily basis, only once a month. Since he only prayed once a month, therefore, he had to make sure to prepare it because from month to month, one can forget. Okay. Amar Rav Acha bar Avira, Amar Rabbi Shimon Hasida, Poter Hayad Rabban Gamliel, Afilu Am Shebasadot. Okay, that now Rabban Gamliel would say, listen, and there's another excuse not to come to Bet Knesset, which is that there's people out in the fields. They're working hard all from dawn till dusk, and it's impossible for them to come to Beit Knesset. It's far away. You got to go out into the field and walk, you know, for an hour to get there and work all day. And so, therefore, Rabban Gamliel said that they are patur from coming to Beit Knesset. We'll pray in the Beit Knesset. We have a minyan. That minyan represents the whole village. And we have them in mind, and we fulfill their obligation. So that's it. They don't have to come to Beit Knesset, and they don't. So it looks like they wouldn't even have to pray. Good. So now we ask, what about the people that are? And of course, the people in the city certainly don't have to, right? So here's they're asking a question on him. You say afilu am shebasadot. What do you mean? Even the people in the field don't have to. Even the people in the field, and of course the people in the city also don't have to. That doesn't make any sense. It should be the opposite. The people on the field, they are anusim. They're forced. That's beyond their control. There's no way they can come in. The people that live, that stay in the city, they work in the city. They're artisans, craftsmen. They're not forced. They can come to Beit Knesset for a few minutes and then go back to work. So why would you say even those in the field and of course those in the city don't have to come to Beit Knesset? So it should be the opposite. The Tane Abba Bered Rab Binyamin Bar Chiya Am Shachore Kohanim Enan Bichlal Beracha. And to further add to this question, we have a statement that says people that stand behind the Kohanim are not included in the blessing. When the Kohanim go up and they're blessing the people, one should go and stand in front of them, right, where they're facing. If you stay all the way in the front of the Beit Knesset, behind the Kohanim, it's not nice. It's not respectful. It looks like you don't care about the Beracha, right? You should still, at least on the side of them, right towards the front of them, as we do today. People will walk to the back of the back of the Bet Knesset, and so right because they have a choice. This is the same thing as people in the city. They can come to Bet Knesset. So the fact that they're not coming, so they shouldn't be included. They should come. Ela ki ata rabin amar Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi amar Rabbi Shimon chasida lo patar Rabban Gamliel ela am shebasadot. Oh, so rather we have a different version of what of the statement, and that says Rabban Gamliel only exempted the people in the field. They can't come to Beit Knesset. We'll have them in mind, and we'll send Berkat Kohanim to them from here. We will be their representatives. My ta'ama, mishum dani sebim lacha aval ba'ir lo. The people in the field, they are forced to go and work. They can't. They have no other possibility. But people in the city, not so. They have to come to Beit Knesset. Now remember, this is Rabban Gamliel. So when they come to Beit Knesset, the Chazan can still fulfill their obligation. But nevertheless, the point is that those who can come to Beit Knesset, those people in the city, they have to come and they can stay there quietly, listen to the Chazan, answer Amen, and the Chazan will fulfill their obligation while they are there. However, the people in the field, they don't have to come at all. And the Chazan will have them in mind. The Minyan is representative of the whole community, and they will pray on their behalf. And that way, even the people in the fields fulfill their obligation. And I think it's a beautiful way to complete the Masechet. It really emphasizes the communal nature of prayer, that it's not just about our personal individual needs and wants, but really also a social aspect. I think prayer has both Adam LaMakom and Ben Adam LaChavero aspects, that we come together as one every day, but even more so on Rosh Hashanah, when we are come together as subjects and declare HaKadosh Baruch Hu as our King. And that's a perfect note on which to end the Masechet. And we'll have an official siyum tomorrow. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen.